Christians?
Christians. Most of them are good people.
They bother me.
Jesus Christ.
Myth.
Christians.
Weak.
Jesus Christ.
I think the Bible is a good book if you like fiction.
Christians.
My parents, they were abusive.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know who he is.
Christian people.
Boo!
What do you think of when I say the word Christian?
Organized religion?
Cult.
What do you think of when I say Jesus?
I'm out of line.
God?
I don't know.
Christian? Trouble?
What do you think of when I say Jesus Christ?
Basically the same thing, trouble.
You asked that one.
Christ.
What do you think of when I say Christ?
Savior.
What do you think the difference is between Jesus and the people that claim to follow him?
Jesus probably isn't real, and the people that do follow him are.
Any difference between Jesus and the person he was and Christian people that claim to follow him?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, Jesus is perfect and we aren't.
What do you think of when I say the word Christian?
Christian? Morals, family values.
What do you think of when I say the word Jesus Christ?
Savior, redemption.
Anything else?
Friend. Brother. Father. Cool kid. I like him.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care. What do you think of when I say Christian?
What do I think of? I think of Jesus Christ.
What do you think of when I say Jesus Christ?
I think of my Savior who died for my sins.
Thanks a lot. What do you think of when I say Jesus Christ?
I got no else.
How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That verse asks some very penetrating questions. As you watch that video, every time I've watched it, I've seen it 4 or 5 times now, I'm struck by the darkness that's in the world that we live in. There's one girl on that video, when asked about Jesus, she says, "I don't know who he is." How are they supposed to know? How is the world that we live in supposed to come to the understanding of who God is and how you know him, how you have a relationship with God? The one word answer to the question is Jesus. I remember when I was a kid growing up in church, anytime the teacher asked a question and you weren't real sure what the answer was, the best guess was always Jesus. Because there was a pretty good chance you were going to get it right, no matter what the question was. If you said Jesus, they at least had to say, "Well, that's a good answer." They could never say wrong if you say Jesus. The answer to the question this morning really is Jesus, but I want to help you see what I mean by that. You can take your listening guide that's in your seat and follow along with us this morning as we look at how Jesus is the answer to that question. How's the world supposed to know? If you're visiting with us right now, we're studying through a series called The Life of a Jesus Follower. But before we started this study, we've been on a several-year journey, 3 years to be exact, studying through the Gospel of John. And one of the things that has become very obvious throughout the Gospel of John are two predominant truths about the person of Jesus. The first one is that Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent over 40 times in the Gospel of John. In 16 different chapters, Jesus refers to the truth that he is sent from God. Jesus had a clear understanding that his life was a mission. It had a purpose. But John goes on and tells us something about why he was sent. Why is it that Jesus was sent into the world? Several times in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes the statement that I was sent to bring light. Jesus was sent to bring light. Let me give you some examples. In John chapter 12, verses 45 and 46, the Bible says, "He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." In John chapter 8 and verse 12, we find one of Jesus' famous I am sayings. When he says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said that he was sent into this world, and he came into this world to bring light. What does that mean? Well, what does the word light mean? If you look up the word light in Webster's dictionary, I've shared this before with you, there are over 30 definitions for the word light in Webster's dictionary. A couple of examples. One of those definitions is this: an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles per second. Is that what came to your mind when I said, what is light? If it is, get out a little more often. You spend too much time reading the dictionary if that's what comes to your mind. My favorite definition was one of the other ones. Here was another definition of light: not dark. That one I can get. I can identify with that one. Maybe that's what you thought of. Let me throw another definition into the mix. What is light? Light is something that makes vision possible. I mean, think about it. Without light, it's impossible to see. Our eye has been made in such a way that our eye is a reflector of light. And as light comes into the eye reflects that light, and it enables us to see the things that are in front of us. If this morning we could turn out all the lights and make it totally dark in this room, there would be no light in here. You could not see, because light makes vision possible. Without light, you cannot see. The same thing is true spiritually. Jesus said he came to bring light into the world. The point is, left to our human condition, all by ourselves, we would never discover God. We would never come to the understanding, first of all, of who God is, much less how we're to have a relationship with this God. We could never see God. We could never know God left to ourselves. The Bible says Jesus came to bring light. Jesus came into the world to make it possible for you and I to know who God is, first of all, and secondly, to know how we could have a relationship with God through Jesus. Listen to this verse out of Hebrews chapter 1. The Bible says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he," speaking of Jesus, "is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." What the Bible says is that throughout the Old Testament, God was progressively revealing himself to humanity. We would have never discovered God on our own. But God, throughout the Old Testament, through the prophets and through supernatural miracles and through the law, God was revealing himself to humanity. But the Bible says it was in many portions and in many ways. It was progressive. God was revealing himself to all of mankind. But there came a point in time when Jesus entered the world. And the Bible says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He's God in the flesh. When Jesus came, he was the total revelation to the world of who God is. So much so that Paul said in Corinthians, in the book of Colossians, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. The word image literally means embodiment or personal manifestation. What Paul said about Jesus is literally God in the flesh. He's God in human form. So that when you see Jesus, you see a man, but you see God. He's the God-man. Paul went on to say this in Colossians: "In him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." So Jesus is the answer to the question, what is God like? Who is God? Jesus. What is God like? Jesus. Jesus came into this world so that everyone could know who God is and what He is like, and He came to make it possible for you and I to have a relationship with God through Him. Now, this morning, maybe you say, what does that have to do with me? We've set aside these weeks to discuss the life of a Jesus follower. Sure, Pastor, it's true. Jesus came to bring light, to show men how they could know God and to make it possible through His death for them to have a relationship with God. And He came to bring light into this darkness. But what does that have to do with me? Listen, if you catch what I'm about to share with you in these next couple of verses, it'll radically transform the way you see your life. It'll change your perspective about why you exist, why you're here. Look at the first verse. This is a verse where Jesus was speaking to God the Father in prayer. Listen to what He said. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Then speaking to His disciples right before He ascended to go back to heaven, listen to what He said. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now remember, Jesus came into a spiritually dark world that left to itself would never discover who God is or how to know Him. And today, you and I, we live in a spiritually dark place. As you watched that video a moment ago, I'm struck by the knowledge that people lack about who Jesus is and what He's done and who God is and how to know Him. There's a disconnect that takes place in people's minds about the person of Jesus. Jesus said that I've sent you, my followers, into this world to be light. Let me say it for you very plainly. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. What Jesus once said about Himself, He now says about you and me. The point is, the only way this world will ever know God, the only way the world that we live in, our neighbors and the nations, will ever know God, ever know what He's like, ever know that they can have a relationship with Him, is through your life and mine. We now are the light of the world. The life of a Jesus follower, we said from day one, is all about relationships. It is true that following Jesus is about a relationship with God. It's about a personal relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a personal relationship with God where we fellowship with God and grow to know Him on a daily basis. And we said last week that it also spills over into a relationship with one another as believers. That because we have a relationship with God, now we have a relationship with one another that spurs us on towards our relationship with God. But it's not just about those two relationships. Because what we understand about Jesus and His giving our mission to be light in this world is that being a Jesus follower is also about a relationship to the world, our neighbors and the nations, so that through our relationship with the world, God literally reveals the person of Christ to every person we come into contact with. Christianity is not about isolation from the world. Many people believe as Christians what we are is separatists. That we come to Christ and we huddle in our groups and we look at the world over there and we tell the world how bad they are and we tell the world how wrong they are and we tell the world how they need to leave that side and get over here on our side. But Christianity is not about isolation. Christianity is about incarnation. Think about it. When God wanted to reveal Himself to the world, did He stand in the heavens somewhere and scream to the world, I am God? No, you know what He did? He took on human flesh and he lived among us. And as he lived among us, he manifested his nature and his glory so that in the person of Jesus Christ, we saw who God is. That's what Christianity is. As we come to know Christ, it's not for us to be pulled out aside from the world and to huddle in our groups and be separate, but it's as we live our lives among them, as we live in the world that God's placed us in, God through us now manifests the light and love of Christ to our neighbors and the nations. It means that our life now has a mission. And it's more than your career. It's more than how much money you make. It's more than what happens on the ball field. Our mission is that others see Christ in our lives. Now here's the problem. We failed. We've misrepresented Jesus to the world. One of the things that astonished me about that video is the disconnect that takes place in people's minds between who Jesus is and what a Christian is. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the people, when asked about Jesus, said, compassionate, healer, good, moral, nice guy. And when asked about Christians, scum, bad, cult. The only way the world we live in is ever going to know who Jesus is as they see Him in you and me. And we have dropped the ball. It became very apparent to me one morning in a quiet time I was having with the Lord. I was reading in John 8. John 8 is the story of the woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees bring this woman and they throw her at the feet of Jesus, and they say to Jesus, Jesus, we need to stone her because she's been caught in adultery. And Jesus says to these Pharisees, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. We have the first recorded rock concert in history as their rocks begin to bounce off the ground. They all walk away, and there's Jesus and this woman. And Jesus looks at the woman and says, woman, where are those that condemn you? And her response floored me. She said, Lord, there are none. Now here was a woman in the presence of God Himself, caught in sin. And yet all she felt in His presence was compassion. No condemnation. Now don't misunderstand me. Jesus dealt with her sin and He sent her on her way with a new life. But you ask the average person out there in the world, what do you think about the church? And I'm afraid the first thing that comes to their mind is condemnation. Guilt, rules, regulations. The point is we've misrepresented Jesus to the world. What was it about Him that would cause unbelievers to travel for days, to forget about food and lodging and family, just to sit at His feet and listen to His words? They saw a love in Him like they'd never seen before. They sensed a compassion from Him, an understanding that they'd never felt before. And we today, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. We as the church, we as believers, we are the representatives of Christ in this world. Jesus said, you're the light. Here's what He said. If they're ever going to see me, if they're ever going to know me, if they're ever going to understand who God is, it's going to happen through you. And I think we've missed it. How do we do this? How do we allow Christ to be seen in our lives? Well, there's a great passage I want to read to you and give you three quick points. And we're going to be done this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul really captures the essence here of everything I'm trying to say with these verses. He says, first of all, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And listen to this next phrase. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That's Christianity. The Bible says that God through us is manifesting the sweet fragrance of Jesus in every place. Verse 15. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Let me give you three principles. First of all, if you're going to be a light and others are going to see Christ in you, the first thing you got to understand is God does it. Notice how the verse begins in verse 14. Thanks be to God who leads and manifests. It's God's work in me. What have we said all along in this series? God didn't save you to do for Him. God brought you into relationship with Himself so that through you He might do. This thing of God revealing Himself to the world through you, it's His work. It's what He desires to do. He didn't save you and say, okay, now go represent me. He's brought you into relationship with Himself, and through that relationship, God desires through you to reveal Himself to those around you. That's why Paul in the next chapter said, not that we are adequate in ourselves as to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Paul realized that if his life was ever going to manifest Christ to anyone, it was going to be God in him and nothing he did in his own strength or ability. Point number two, God does it as the overflow of my relationship with Him. Look what the Bible says in verse 15. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Did you hear that? We are a fragrance of Christ. Wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be a light to our neighbors and the nations. We're a fragrance of Christ to God? What's the point? The point is the focus is not them. The focus is Him. And as I focus on Him, He reveals Himself to them. Did you get all that? That's what He says here in this verse. He says that God manifests through us. The point is, out of the overflow of my relationship with God, here's what happens. As I pursue Him, as I seek to know Him, and as through my relationship with Him, I relate to brothers and sisters in Christ, what happens is God transforms my life so that what happens in my life is Christ is formed in me. So that my life becomes a reflection of Christ at my workplace, in my neighborhood, at my school, on the ball field. Everywhere I am, the fragrance of Christ is just evident in my life. That's what it is to be light. To be light is not just to go pass out tracts and hand out Bibles. Taking nothing from that. We need to do that. But what we need in America today is real Christianity, where people begin to live out the life of Christ. Clyde Cranford, a good friend of mine, wrote a book. Here's what he said. This is real Christianity. A spontaneous overflow of the life of Christ through us. That means that reaching the world is more about discipleship than it is about evangelism. It's about being conformed to the image of Christ so that no matter where I am, the fragrance of Christ is evident in my life. So that when people come into contact with me, they come into contact not with just a better me, but with a person of Jesus Christ through my life. Let me give you the third point. God does it through my life and my lips. Often we think about being a light to our neighbors and the nations, and immediately we think about what we need to say. But it's a lot more important what you live than what you say. Paul doesn't even mention speaking until the last verse. Notice what he says. Listen to his words. God manifests through us the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God. God's chosen instrument is us. And His plan, His design is that we reveal Jesus through our lives. Look what He said in verse number 14. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. The word place literally could be translated opportunity or location. Here's the point. God's design is that I'm transformed into the image of Christ. That my life becomes a reflection of Jesus so that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, Christ is seen in my life. It's not something I do. It's just who I am. And as I live my life before Christ and Christ is manifest in me, I become less obvious and Christ becomes more obvious. And through my life, people see who Jesus is and they're attracted to the person of Christ. It's lifestyle. It's not something you do once or twice a week. That's why Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, go make disciples of all nations. You know how that literally should be translated? Literally, it should be translated, as you go. The translators put the imperative on the word go, but the imperative is literally on the word make disciples. The word go is just modifying as you go. Here's what that means. As you go to work, make disciples. As you go to school, make disciples. As you go to the store, make disciples. As you go to the ball field, make disciples. As you go to the mall, make disciples. As you go to the mailbox. What does that mean? That means that every aspect of my life becomes an opportunity for others to see Christ in me and be drawn to the person of Christ. That's why Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. How do we let our light shine? Through our good works, through the lives that we live. Hear this. The lives that we live authenticate the message that we share. There are people today who piously as Christians say, boy, we're living in a tough day. Specifically here in Las Vegas, I've heard a lot of church people say, man, people in Las Vegas aren't open to the gospel. I don't believe that. I think the people of Las Vegas and the people of the world are as open as they've ever been. I just think they're waiting to see if it's real. Listen to what Robert Lewis said in his book. He said, the world is tired of the church impersonally talking it down and chewing it up. What the world waits to see is whether what we have is better than what they have. Just think of what bridges we could build if we truly followed the example of the New Testament church. We would go beyond being seeker sensitive to a new frontier of being community admired. We would be known not just by the corner we inhabit, but by the city with which we interact. And people would be drawn to God, not because of the weekly show in our churches, but by the irrefutable lives that we live. What if people began to be drawn to Christ because they saw such a difference in your life and my life? It didn't matter whether or not they liked the style of our churches. They were so drawn to the person of Christ because they'd seen Him in our lives. To be a Jesus follower is about a relationship with God that overflows into relationship with one another. But it's also about a relationship with the world, where through our lives the world sees Jesus. But then He says through our lips. Paul in verse 17 says, we speak in sincerity. You know what the word sincerity means? The word sincerity was actually borrowed from a common practice in the time of Paul. The makers of clay pots, oftentimes when they would heat them, they would crack it. They'd overheat it and it'd have a crack in it. And to disguise it so people like you and I couldn't tell, they would fill that crack with mud and they would paint over it. And the only way you could tell if it was genuine or if it was broken would be to hold it up to the light. And if you held it up to the light, you could see the light coming through those cracks where they had tried to fix it. That's the Greek word, sincere. Let me tell you what the world's doing. They're looking at your life and mine, and they're holding it up to the light to see if it's real. It's one thing for you and I to profess Christianity. It's one thing for you and I to invite them to our church. It's one thing for you and I to say you ought to read this Bible. But it's something altogether different for them to see Jesus in you and me. You see, by the lives we live, we earn the right to share the gospel. You know what the world wants to know? They want to know if what you got on Sunday makes any difference in your life on Monday. Because they don't need another thing to do. But if it's real, that's different. Let's pray. With your heads bowed this morning, I want to close with a quote from a book, and I don't read to you very often, but I think he captured everything I wanted to say in this one paragraph. Listen to this statement. What does the lost world need to see? When men see a life from which flows the fruit of the Spirit, when they see reactions of love and forgiveness, patience and hope, endurance and stamina, joy in the midst of grief, peace so far beyond their own understanding that it grips their very souls, then they are confronted with Christ Himself. They see what Paul called the manifested light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This light they only see within us, and only if we are beholding the glory of the Lord. Thus they are struck by the profound darkness of their own lives. The ministry is not what we do for Christ. The ministry is Christ. The answer is Jesus. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the glory of the ministry. This too is transformation. This morning, just a